Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They take care of all of it. They take care of you. If service and price mean everything to you, which means you're human, well, it means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. The O'Bannon lawsuit case is underway, day two, and many felt that this was a watershed landmark moment in the history of the NCAA. And we've talked about this, likenesses being used for EA Sports and actually how Kevin follows sports. You're right.
Not denying anything yet.
Oh, jeez. And Ed O'Bannon, of course, has the suit. Now, almost everybody felt going in that this was a slam dunk in favor of the O'Bannon people, led by Ed O'Bannon himself. And then he took the stand. The NCAA did really well. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but they did really well yesterday. In fact, they probably scored some big-time points yesterday. Number one, they come out with the $20 million settlement with the Sam Keller Group. Okay? And, yeah, even there are even going to be some current players that get some money out of this, believe it or not. That will not affect their eligibility. And the NCAA brilliantly was able to corner O'Bannon on television. Well, O'Bannon's on the stand yesterday. And tells him that, I mean, he's asked by the NCAA attorney about athletes being paid and gets it to television. And O'Bannon says that even Little League players, finally admits on the stand, even Little League players, in his opinion, should be paid because they're on TV. Really?
Wow.
Now, the NCAA lawyers use the example of the Cal-Stanford game, which has been played literally 116 times since 1892. And the players have no right to sell it to a television network that would broadcast the game because Cal and Stanford have scheduled this game long before any of the athletes who will play in it have enrolled at either school. There are people born, have not been born yet, that will play in this game in 2050. Right? So before anyone has thought of marching in the band or being a cheerleader or buying a ticket or playing in the game, okay, all those people haven't even been born yet, but the game will be played in 2050. And that's their point. And Cal and Stanford as entities have the power to keep every network out other than the network contracted to broadcast the game. And again, another fact. But what O'Bannon gets on the stand and it was not a, a banner day for him at all. When he started, when he says that, well, they said, well, what about little leaguers? They're on TV. Should they be? Yeah. Yeah? Really? That's not how this works.
No, but I have a team full of little leaguers who might be interested in that.
Well, that's because after a big 6-4 win last night, they now think they're TV worthy.
I'm sorry. That's just... little leaguers on TV, right, and then saying that they should be paid for it. Just
the little leaguers didn't say that.
No. I understand.
Ed O'Bannon said this on the stand.
I understand. I just can't even grasp that idea.
Okay. Now, the NCAA has done a lot of wrong things, and what they did here at Penn State is certainly front and center. All right. Just as simple as that. And they're trying to now correct things based on legalities, lawsuits, and so forth. Unlimited food for athletes starting in August. Looking into the possibility of stipends. You know, a variety of things. But you can't sit there and say, I'm on national TV, where's my cut? The players in the National Football League who are professionals do not have it in their contract that, okay, I'm going to get this much money when I'm on ESPN, this much money when I'm on NBC Sunday Night Football, this much money when I'm on Thursday Night Football, and this much money when I'm on Fox and CBS on Sunday. They're contracted to their team, and they're paid by their team to play. And the league then sells the TV rights. Teams sell the radio rights. Teams sell the preseason. But the league sells the TV rights as a business. Intercollegiate athletics is a completely different business model, which I've talked about many times. If Kevin and I owned a business and we had 31 divisions of the business, and two divisions of the business were making a lot of money, and 29 were losing, what would our options be? Our options would be simple. We would look at some of the divisions that are losing money and ask ourselves, there's something that you'd get rid of right away. Then there were some that we would ask the question, okay, what can we do, resources, marketing, publicity, or whatever, to turn that at least into a small profit so we're not losing our shirts here? Or do we cut them as well? Normal business, that would be the discussion. If, for example, Wise Markets, located right here in Sunbury, they're looking at all their stores all the time to see which ones are performing well and which ones might need a boost and which ones are at the point of no return, depending on market and reasons and so forth. That's the way it's run. Intercollegiate athletics hasn't run like that. You make heavy money in football. You make heavy money in men's basketball. You make literally, there is no other program in the country that's not a football or men's basketball program that makes money. I know people often say, oh, wrestling, it's sold out. No, I'm sorry. Wrestling loses a little bit more than $1 million a year. And that is as successful as it gets. Now, they could they've kept the ticket prices low, which is absolutely the right thing to do. It's smart. You don't want to do it with pull a UConn women's basketball thing. UConn women's basketball took the prices and kicked them up exponentially. And for a little period of time, they made money. Last year, UConn women's basketball lost $1.3 million. People don't want to pay that kind of money to go see them play anymore. And they're the best of the best. But there's a reality as to how popular your sport really is. So you take the profits from football and men's basketball with the idea that between the stadium, endowments, Nittany Lion Club, the arena, the TV money, Big Ten Network, Fox, CBS, ESPN, with the idea you're going to take that money and spread it out over your 29 losing divisions, so because you only have a grand total of 98 student-athletes that are in full scholarships for football and men's basketball. That leaves a total of 702 student-athletes at Penn State in the other 29 sports. Some are partials, quarter, half, three-quarter, and some are full scholarships. Every women's basketball scholarship, for example, is full. But those 702 student-athletes in the other 29 sports all get their opportunity to compete at the highest level because financially, football and men's basketball had do enough financially to make the others possible. That's the economic model of sports. That's the one that works, that gives everyone opportunity. And what we're watching right now, I'm concerned we're watching slowly but surely on the collegiate level ruining what the fans enjoy. I've talked often about a scholarship being bloodless. It's if you know how many of you out there have direct deposit? Okay. Kevin, you have direct deposit, right?
Yes, I do.
How often do you get a pay stub to go with it?
Yes. That's, yes.
Okay. But there are a lot of people, and Penn State's a good example of it. Penn State, you have to go online to see what your pay stub looks like.
That's the way my wife says, yeah.
Right? How often does she look at it online?
Only when I remind her, hey, can you look at that for me?
Exactly. So what's happened is that the vast majority of people who are in that situation, where it's direct deposit, so let's take it back to you now, where it's direct deposit, they don't know how much money was taken out for federal. They don't know how much money was taken out for state, how much money was taken out for local, for emergency management, FICA, Medicaid, so forth. People don't know. Why? Because with direct deposit, you just see what the end result is, and it's bloodless. That is how tuition is paid at universities. Great star quarterback comes in here. I'm not getting any money. They just clicked over several thousand dollars in your name for tuition. They just clicked over several thousand dollars for your room. They just clicked over money for your books. Oh, by the way, here's a check. Here's your grant money that you qualified for. And, oh, by the way, yeah, don't forget training tip. You get unlimited meals now anytime you want. So don't worry about going down to get that pizza. You're okay. We got plenty over here. And, oh, and here's a clothing allowance, $250 per semester. You have to receipt that, though. But you still get one. It's all bloodless. They don't see any of it. None of it passes through their hands. Now, again, as I pointed out many times, the exponential majority of student-athletes absolutely appreciate their scholarship. I mean, absolutely. There's a handful. I don't care that Johnny Manziel's number two sold bucket loads at Texas A&M. I could care less. His name's not on the back, and he's not the first person in the history of Texas A&M to wear number two. One of the greatest linebackers ever in Texas A&M history, Ed Simononis, two-time All-American, wore number two. here at Penn State, what's the hot number of the moment? A lot of people will love 14. Two national championship quarterbacks and a Heisman Trophy runner-up also wore 14. That number's been popular here for decades. Decades. Now you have Texas A&M selling one number, 12. You have Northwestern, which of course has now gone through the unionization deal, selling one number, Pat Fitzgerald's 51, and Arizona selling 14. What about you, the fan? What do you get? You're not allowed to buy a jersey with a number on it? Just a generic number. It's a generic number. That's all it is. You just want to wear a jersey. Some fans here in the mid-2000s bought 31s. But that's also Shane Conlon's number. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Guess what? 31 came and went. He's with the Jaguars now. Where are we going here? Where are we going? I mean, now you got people saying, well, I don't want to do this because of litigation. So that's selling a jersey. You know what you should do? You should sell a jersey of any number you want with the proceeds going to the school's favorite charity. Here at Penn State, you could send the money to Thon. You could send the money to Live for Life, whatever. I mean, that's how you got to get around it. You're not profiting off anything, and the money's going to charity. But there, you know, but now you have a guy on the witness stand saying little leaguers should be paid. Are you kidding me? If little leaguers were to get paid, guess how many games of the Little League World Series would be on TV?
Hang on, it's a round number.
None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. And the funny thing is, you don't have to pay to go to the games. It's Little League. It's free. I'm sorry. I hear stuff like that. Something is wrong. Now, I'm not saying the NCAA has done everything right. Quite the opposite. The NCAA has done a lot wrong, and they have not been realistic about the times. Right? And they way overstepped their bounds at this university. All right. Still trying to find which rule was violated.
Yeah, let me know when you figure that one out.
Okay. But that aside, all right, in this particular case, okay, they settled with the one group, they can settle with this group, and it'll be all, you know, and they're already out of the contract with EA Sports. But when you have a guy suggesting at a witness stand that little leaguers should be paid because, look, they're on TV, that's their image. Where the heck are we going? When you can't walk into a bookstore and say, hey, you know what? I want to buy number 80. Why? Well, I'm Matt Zanellato's family. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't sell 80. Why not? We're only allowed to sell one number. What? Where are we going here? Where are we going? And when people don't think scholarship is payment, then obviously you're the individuals that don't send your kids to college. Because guess what? I know I write checks. It seems pretty real to me. And as I said, exponentially, student athletes appreciate their scholarships. So don't get me wrong. There's a hand. I don't want this intercollegiate athletics or sports in general ruined by the few. I really got sick and tired of the Johnny Manziel examples. Hey, guess what? He's not at Texas A&M anymore. He's off. He's done his own thing. Fun to watch, but in some ways, one of the worst things to happen to college sports. Because I can tell you right now, he doesn't make a single play unless somebody catches it or somebody blocks for him. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
All right, next half hour, Kevin will explain why Chase Utley is the only one that should not be traded.
I think I already explained it this half hour why I don't think anybody's going to get traded.
I think, first of all, Jimmy Rollins, you got to think about who needs what. The Dodgers don't need Jimmy Rollins. They have Hanley Ramirez.
Yes.
But they might need Chase Utley. He'd be an upgrade over Gordon at second base. So thought, and they've got the cash. Money means nothing to the Dodgers.
Will
nothing.
He go?
Oh, wants to win.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias. Bonjour, guten Abend. How are you? Great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland Auto, Home, Life, Business Insurance. Kratzers have taken care of this valley for better than 50 years because they have a simple motto. Service and price mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I am at the Chateau, boys and girls. The Sunbury Motor Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ah, well. Kevin has explained today why the only player worth keeping is Chase Utley, and that's only because it's the only player.
I don't think that's what I said. I'm pretty sure I didn't say that.
I think it's a quote.
But Roger would like to talk about the Phillies and buying and selling.
Yeah, I think they should sell. Roger, how are you?
Yeah, I would like to chime in. I didn't hear Kevin's reasoning behind why you would not trade Chase Utley, but I'm going to definitely check out the podcast to find that one out.
It's always an adventure, Roger, as you know.
It is. I will say this. If you're looking for a reason to go to the ballpark between now and the end of July, Chase Utley's probably the reason because, you know, he's an all-time great. He's probably in most folks' top five fillies of all time. You got Schmidt, Ashburn, yeah. Carlton, Robin Roberts, and Chase Utley.
Right,
so there's
I agree
reason
with that.
To go to the ballpark to see Chase Utley and appreciate him because he should be traded by July. And Kevin, here's my rebuttal to what you might have said earlier.
Okay.
When you look at the rest of the Phillies team, they between injuries and contracts, there's no one else to trade.
That's exactly what I said earlier.
Cliff Lee might have been a commodity, but every day Cliff Lee goes that he can't throw from a flat surface diminishes his trade value. Who's going to pay his price for a rental player when you don't even know if he can get up out of bed tomorrow and throw again? Then you got Mike Adams, who would have been a nice bullpen piece for someone until he went back in the DL list. I think that's been like for the fourth time in 2 years he's been in the DL. You got A.J. Burnett, who needs hernia surgery. You got Paul Hamels, who is one of the few Phillies who is young enough and good enough that he could probably still be part of the solution. He could probably stay around long enough to play on the next winning team. Papelbon might go. If you can find somebody who really has closer issues and is willing to take on his price, he might go. He should be an all-star this year. Kyle Kendrick is semi-attractive if you need a back-of-the-rotation guy. But the rest of the team, you know, you got because of age and contracts, like Brian Howard's contract, Jimmy Rollins, no trade clause, is Chase Utley. You know, he's an all-star caliber player, and he's someone that if the Dodgers, you know, were willing to part with the Jock Peterson, because they do have a crowded outfield, they don't have any place to put a Jock Peterson right now. The Oakland A's play Moneyball. They could use a second baseman, but they're not going to send any of their young prospects like Addison Russell back because that's just not the way Billy Beane does business. He doesn't take on 35-year-old veterans. He wins with young guys who are economical. So the Orioles, do they need a second baseman? I don't know. I mean, any of those teams battling in the American League East, that's going to be a good race this year. Do any of them need second baseman? The Washington Nationals are a good trade partner for the Phillies because the Nats could use a second baseman. They got Danny Espinosa and some issues, and they could use a second baseman. They have a good farm system, so they could be a good trade. They could be a good trade partner for the Phillies.
Yankees could be a good trade partner for them. I think what Brian Roberts has been manning that spot there, short porch in right field at the new Yankee Stadium, works well for Chase Utley. The Red Sox absolutely are not. I mean, they'd rather have Dustin Pedroia than Chase Utley, for obvious reasons. They've already invested, a 7-year contract in him. The Dodgers have plenty of money, and they need a second baseman. And they have an overload in the outfield, and the Phillies have about as anemic an outfield offensively as you can have. There's just no power in that outfield. I mean, you need power in left.
They haven't drafted outfielders either, really.
No, they have not. And they really have done a lousy job in their minor league system of developing players to get to this point. And you look at a guy like Ben Revere. Well, Ben Revere doesn't hit with any power as the center fielder. But not only that, they privately have concerns about how good his defense is. That's a bad combination.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so... Chase Utley's got the no trade clause, which means it would have to be somewhere he wants to play. But isn't he a California guy anyway, Steve? Chase Utley?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so he might want to go back to California. And I think he and his wife like the Philadelphia area, so the Yankees might be attracted, and they could keep their home in Philadelphia and just go up and down 95. But
He's 35 years old. He's 35 years old. Winning one more time would not hurt. I mean, I think that. Kevin said earlier, he goes, he's already won a championship.
Well, I said that that's with Rollins, though.
That's not the name of the game at this stage of your life. I mean, at this stage of your life, winning means everything.
But see, I said that with Rollins, and Rollins is a little bit different because here's a guy that's been in Philly for 18 years. You know, he's lived, he's got a house outside of Philly in the suburbs of Jersey. So he's got more roots than Utley does.
Kevin,
but I agree with you, Roger.
Kevin,
I think Papelbon is the most expendable there.
Well,
you
know, Rollins
house,
is going to be the Phillies' all-time hit leader by the end of this week, and I think that's one of the things that kept him in Philadelphia. So he may not be above winning. He wants to go. He'd like to be a Giant, probably. And the Giants have some pitching now. The Phillies have drafted some pitching. They have Biddle coming up. They just drafted a college player last week from LSU.
But the Giants have some great pitching prospects, so don't rule them out either.
And not only that, you know what? The Giants are a model that Philadelphia needs to examine very, very closely, Roger, because they are a team that has spent here and there, but they've also built internally. The Giants are a winning model that I think a team like Philadelphia needs to take a long, close look at.
Yep. But, Kevin, you and I will find a Dollar Dog Night coming up soon, and we will go down and appreciate...
We will appreciate
Chase Utley together last time.
I was going to say, we may have to wave goodbye, but I love those Dollar Dog Nights.
I know you do. All right, guys.
Intro. Thanks, Kevin. All right, thanks, Roger. Let's go to Dick in Milton. Dick, thanks for waiting. Great to have you on the show.
No problem, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to back you up, rewind you to the last half hour there. You made a statement about Johnny Manziel doesn't make a single play without offensive lineman and a wide receiver. He doesn't just make a single good play or quality play. He makes a lot of plays. They're just not very good. In fact, the kind of plays he would make, and we wouldn't even be talking about him without those guys around him. I knew what you meant.
No question.
But he did.
Right.
Huh? But you just said he wouldn't make a single play. They just wouldn't be very good plays. That's all. That's the only thing I wanted to comment on.
he'd be staring at the sky if he didn't.
in fact, I'm pretty sure that a bunch of the guys on his team got drafted around him. I'm pretty sure some of them did. Pretty high too. Also, so I don't know how they'll do in Cleveland. I have no idea. Most people don't do very well in Cleveland. Most franchises don't do very well in Cleveland. So I'm not sure why individual player would do very well. So we'll see what happens down the road. But he's a party guy. There's no doubt about that. And he wasn't good for college football. Right. I don't know about pro football. He's just he'll just be a long list of a lot of guys in professional sports that act like that. So.
Well, Texas A&M had three first-round picks this year, and they had the second overall pick a year ago in Luke Jokel.
So, right, and I understand that. And that's what made him very good. He made him an excellent football player.
They've gone on and on about the jerseys that they sold because of number two. They went on and on about him going, he should have the right to sign his name at a card show so that a guy like Kevin can line up for 4 hours for no apparent reason. And it's just, I'm telling you, the guy in the long run, to me, is bad for the game in that regard.
And the only other thing I was going to comment on was your last caller mentioned about the Chase Utley and possible places that he might end up playing. Well, take the Orioles off the list because if it costs them any money after they sign a $49 million contract to Jimenez, Angelus won't spend any more money right now. I guarantee you that. The guy'd have to pay to play there almost. He's not going to spend any money for any players right now. He got burned on Albert Bell really badly years ago, and now he got burned. I'm not going to say he got burned on Jimenez, and he could turn it around. He hasn't pitched that poorly all the time. It's just they don't give him any run support. They give him less run support than they gave Mike Mussina, and that's not much.
Not much at all. But what happens, though, in this particular situation is that, obviously, you pick up the rest of the contract for this year. That's one scenario. There's also another scenario where the Phillies actually pay part of the contract. So it's not completely. That's why it's not completely off the table, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I'd love to see him play for the Orioles because they just need a couple pieces here or there.
Sure,
they still need a relief pitcher or they need a closer. They don't have one. For whatever reason, and we all know the scenario they went through with their baseball team at the end. You know, the guys couldn't pass the physical to suit Angelos, and right now they close by committee, and they don't close very well for the most part. You know,
right?
He was Tommy Hunter. He was on the DL for a while, and they brought him back. He's the type of guy he struggles to get through one or two outs in an inning, let alone the whole inning. That's just the way he is. He's a home run. He gives up a lot of long balls. You can't do that as a closer.
And that's why Roger was absolutely right. Papelbon is going to be a hot commodity at some point because people need someone to close. I mean, after all, I thought Jabba Chamberlain did a brilliant job the other night for the Tigers. Oh, that's right. That ball's still traveling.
anyhow, I'll let you go. Obviously, we'll find out what happens with the Phillies. They're just not very good. They're not a very good baseball team. They get paid a lot of money, and the kind of guys they have long-term contracts, trade clauses, and how many guys could they afford to lose? Or they could afford to lose all of them in a sense, but they're just not very good. The players, who wants players off a team that's not playing very well?
Right. I agree. I mean, you want to talk about bang for the buck. The Phillies don't get much bang for the buck. They really don't. That's why the fans love Chase Utley, because Chase Utley does do it.
He plays.
That ought to be a topic for your show sometime. Is between the 76ers, the Flyers, the Phillies, and the Eagles, what's wrong with Philadelphia sports? overall, they're not. Realistically, they're just not. Right. They're not at the level they were a few years ago. None of them are right there.
That could be a whole week topic, Dick. That might take a whole week. I don't think you can cover that in just a day.
Well, and the other thing you might talk about sometime is, and maybe you do, because I can't listen all every day because of things going on. But I just think that they got to do something to cut down the seasons in the NHL and the NBA, or people are going to start to lose interest, especially when they're going to the shore, the beach. They start playing in the end of September, and they're still playing in the middle of summer. I just think it's absurd. I know it's all economics. I understand that.
It's also TV. It's also TV as well, and the reason for TV is simple. The sweeps, the three critical sweeps months where TV sets its ad rates for the next year are November. You'll notice the shows in November are like, hey, they're all really good. February, Super Bowl, Academy Awards, Olympics, things like that. And then the other one is May. So the TV networks do not want the Stanley Cup final or the NBA final on in May. They don't want it. That's why they're both in June, because TV can't have them in May. If they don't, then they're not going to be on over-the-air TV.
Well, I understand that part of the economics of it. I'm just saying that to have NHL playing in June, to have the NBA playing this late into the season, and to have Major League Baseball playing the World Series in so late in the year when they could be playing in places that, we've talked about this before, Colorado, where the temperature in baseball this year was a doubleheader, was 19 degrees, and the Denver Broncos never started a game under 50. That's absurd. There's no reason for that.
That's crazy. Look, and I've always said they should cut down on the seasons, but the problem is that you can't convince an owner. A lot of owners don't start to actually make any money until they get to the playoffs. That's just the economic reality.
I don't understand. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that to keep people's interest up for 7 or 8, 9 months in hockey, and some of the it's hard to do.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. You're preaching to the choir.
The only thing I could see it changing, they might want to go longer just to pay players. That's the only thing. That's the worst case scenario.
Maybe. Kevin wants the Phillies to go 30 games just to put him out of his misery.
At this point, that might not be the worst case scenario.
We're gonna have to go to a different calendar where there's more than 12 months in a year to survive this after a while. I don't understand how it'll work. I'll let you go.
I can't do that. That would change everything with the IRS. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dick. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. .410 baseball. 12-19 at home, 13-17 on the road. -50 run differential. 2-8 in their last 10 games. Welcome to another summer of Phillies baseball.
How soon does the football camp start?
It's in July, babe.
All right. It's almost time.
I mean, you have the same record as the Cubs. And they're awful.
And almost the same record as the Rays.
Except I think the Rays have more talent.
Well, they're cheaper talent, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, but I mean, you between Loney and Longoria and a couple of those pitchers, David Price.
When you
Phillies are, the Phillies are 25th in runs scored, 23rd in batting average, 24th in on-base percentage, and 23rd in slugging percentage. At least it's consistently bad. Okay, now pitching.
I don't even want to know.
24th in ERA, 22nd in quality starts, 28th in whip, and 22nd in batting average. To their credit, statistically, they are exactly where they should be.
Well, let's see. The Pirates are struggling this year. The Phillies are struggling. Let's see.
Yeah, the Pirates just brought up Polanco, so now they,
well,
you know, I mean,
there's excitement there now. Anyway,
look, a big problem for the Pirates are the Brewers. That's a huge, huge problem. Okay, the Pirates this year are 3-10 against the Brewers. You take them out, they're 27-23 against everybody else. They're not bad.
Do you know what hurts more than anything if you're a Phillies fan?
The baseball season.
The Mets are even playing better than the Phillies.
And I'll tell you right now, the Mets have young pitchers that could make them a decent club for a long time.
That's a scary
thing.
You know
that? You know, I mean, and they don't even have Matt Harvey. But they have a young pitching staff, a young set of starters. I mean, do you realize the Mets are fourth in all of baseball in quality starts? They're fourth in all of baseball in quality starts. They've had 40 quality starts this year.
I did not know that.
I mean, they're 12th in the ERA, which is pretty good. But they're fourth in quality starts. Now, offensively, the Mets don't have much. We know that. I mean, they're 28th in batting average all, and 29th in slugging percentage. But part of it is that they've developed some good, young pitchers in their system. And, yeah, the Phillies are, what, two games back of the Mets right now for fourth?
I stopped looking. I just know they're back. I don't know how many games.
Now, remember, the Mets have lost six in a row, too. So the Mets have hit kind of a skid lately. I mean, the Mets were, you know, one game under 500 before the skid began. But see, you know, they get Matt Harvey back down the road to add in with the mix. It's a good rotation. It's a good young rotation that they could have for a while. For the Pirates, they've got a little more hope now. I mean, they're hanging in there. Three games under 500. Now, I know they lose Neil Walker for a period of time with an appendectomy, but Gregory Polanco, I mean, yeah, as you heard Howard Kelman, when we had Howard Kelman on from Allentown, who's the Indianapolis Indians play-by-play guy, of the guys he's seen come through, he is equal in his opinion to Eric Davis, Larry Walker. Really? Wow. Thanks to Kratzer Insurance, who sponsored today's show, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, and, of course, the Sunbury Motors.